thinking, no, it's not happening my way. Yeah, that's why it's not happening your way. If you stand in the promise of God, God said, I'll never forsake you. I will always be with you. Standing on the promises of God. But sometimes we forget about all that. 40 days after resurrection, Jesus, before he departs, he speaks and gives his promise to his disciples. This is the only time we hear such a story. It has never been mentioned before. It's the first time. So I themed my sermon today, God is doing a new thing. Did you get me? God is doing a new thing. Where? In whom? And why? I don't know. Because God's mind is a human, it's not a human being's mind. It's God's mind. As our ears are listening right now this morning, the disciples were also in the same situation in that story that we had. I just want to remind you one thing, that the same writer, Dr. Luke, he also wrote something in the Gospel of Luke. The story which has got a similar nature. This is where I want to take you this morning before we deliberate in that story. So that when I go along now speaking to you, you will compare the two statements and put them together. Those who know arithmetic or mathematics, they say 1 + 1 is what?
2.
So when we compare the two texts, you will now see what Dr. Luke was talking about. If you don't mind, take your Bible with me to Luke chapter 24. There's a Bible behind you. If there is not one behind you, there's one in front of you. I know they are gathering dust in the church because no one is using them, but let's use them. Dr. Luke, this text that we are going to read is talking about opening your mind. Do you get me? So we start on verse 45 to verse 49. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Stay in the city until you have been clothed. Every morning when we get up, it's either those of us who put on pyjamas. You take off the pyjamas, go and have a bath, right? Put on your gown. And then you decide, what am I going to put on today? Is this pleasing in front of everyone? Before you even please yourself, you are pleasing people who don't even sin that morning. Please yourself first. Am I well presented in public? Is this nice? Clothing yourself with something suitable. But here we are being told, you are going to be clothed. Whether you like it or not, you are going to be clothed. Then when we go to Acts chapter 1, I want you to look at chapter 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This is the same writer. Dr. Luke, the physician, is writing. But the point I want you to pick this morning is about the power that is going to come on you. It doesn't come because if we required it. It's coming because it's a gift. A gift doesn't choose. Bill Gates and them, they didn't choose to be rich. It's a gift that they've received from God. But in the secular world, they think, oh, well, because I've planned my life so well, I'm clever. No. God had that gift planned for you before you even. So this power which is being mentioned here, I want to explain 4 points to you this morning. One, because God is doing a new thing in your life through this power. The first thing that you must understand is God is doing a new thing to you. Not to the church, not to the community. It's particularly about you, that power. Okay? The second thing, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to his Father. But when they receive power, various things will happen. He is teaching them how to live until he comes back with that power. The third thing is, when we receive that power, it's teaching us how to live inclusively with our neighbors. That one is very difficult. But when you've received that power, it mustn't be a difficult thing. It only becomes a difficult thing when you want to do it your way. Amen? The house went quiet. That power to live in harmony with your neighbors can only happen when you let the Holy Spirit take over. But most of the time, it's us who want to lead, not the Holy Spirit. That is where the mistake is. And then the fourth thing, with that power, we have got the ability to reach the unreachable. It's not your power. You've been clothed with that power. So you've got no control over it. But the moment we want to put control over that power, we now talk of, oh, that place is unreachable. You cannot tell them about Jesus. They don't want to hear. Yes, they don't want to hear because you went to them with your own mind. If you go to them with the mind of the Holy Spirit, the talking is not yours. The hindrance are not in front of you because it's not yours. You are just a vessel which is being used. The final thing, when this power has clothed you, all barriers are removed. All impossibilities are abolished. Wow, that's great. But there's one thing that Jesus is telling his disciples here, is the preparation. Are you ready to let this power come on you? The Greek word for power is dunamis. The power to do anything. The power to pray for the sick. The power to pray for miracles. The power to be an evangelist. But if you put a limitation in front of you, it's not possible. Everything becomes bleak. So prepare for this power when it comes to you. Yesterday, we had a seminar here about first aid. We're talking about seizures. Those of the medical field, correct me if I'm wrong. They say seizures is when all of a sudden your brain is getting an influx of electricity before it is prepared for that. So, we too, we need to be prepared when we know power is going to come on us. Prepare for that surge. Because if it comes into you without any preparation, you'll have a shock. So Christ is trying to avoid that shock to his disciples before he leaves. He's telling them, power is going to come in you. But listen to this. Stay here until you have been clothed. Stay here. I think we've got different ears on listening on the instructions that comes from the Lord. Stay here means stay here. There's a placard in our kitchen that if I can't do it my own way, do it the way your wife told you. I want to change that placard today. If you can't do it the way Jesus told you, always refer back to the manual book. Because the moment you do it on your own way, you are not prepared. Jesus prepared his disciples because this power was going to be very strong. And this is not ordinary power. It's not ordinary power that you know. This is dunamis, according to the Greek word. Dunamis, imagine. Dunamis. It will knock you down. So, are you prepared to have this power coming into you? Don't limit it when it comes on you because you haven't requested for it. Jesus has said it is going to come on you. You are going to be clothed with lightning. And people won't be able to look at you because you'll be shining bright like that light. It is the preparation that is very important. There's a young guy in the Bible who was approached by God and God said, "You know what, mate? I'm going to rain storms of rains. And if you're not prepared, you will die like them." He opened his ears. "What did you say?" I said, "I'm going to rain for so many days. And if you're not prepared, you are going to die. So what do you want me to do, Lord, my worship?" And God said, "Pick up your hammer and nails and timber and build a big boat." He invited his neighbors. His neighbors said, "Mate, we are still enjoying ourselves. Forget it. How can you build a boat? There's no water here. Why are you doing it?" But Noah carried on. He was preparing after he had been warned. So he was preparing a boat that was going to save people. After he had finished building that boat, it started raining. I'm told in that story, some people tried to knock on the door of the ark. Noah said, "The door is closed. No one is coming in." Only 8 people were saved. And after that, ignoring of the preparation, after it had stopped raining, after people and animals had died, God gave a promise. "I'll never destroy the world with water again." You see the damages of ignoring promises and warnings. Noah opened his ears. So Jesus here is also telling his disciples to listen to that. Power is coming on you. But within that promise, within that statement, he also tells his disciples of one other promise. "I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Maybe those of inquisitive mind like myself, whenever I hear something, I want to go further and find out what's going to happen after this. Maybe they want, what do you think is going to happen? Is Saint Jesus coming back? Wow. He said his Father is going to send his promise. What is promise? Jesus said he's not going to leave us as orphans. John chapter 14 verse 16. He says he will ask the Father to send another counselor, comforter. English is my second language. But even though if it's my second language, when I looked in the dictionary, comforter means someone who comforts you. Counselor is someone who counsels you and guides you. So Jesus knows the mind of the disciples. Right now they think, the Lord is gone. How are we going to survive? He read their minds. "I am not leaving you as orphans. I am going to send you another comforter." So these 40 days are very important. Never has it happened before. This promise was never said before. "I'm going to send another comforter for you." You see where the preparation is going. They've never had this comforter before. They've never received this. So they need to prepare. How are we going to behave when this comforter comes on us? Someone was saying, well, the Holy Spirit was always existing. You remember at creation, the land was void, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. Yes, I agree with that. No disputes at all. But listen, the Holy Spirit was visiting that time. The Holy Spirit was visiting the earth. But now Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is coming to stay with you. Now get it this way. If someone says to you, I'm coming for a cup of tea to your house today, do you prepare a bedroom for them? No. Come on. Someone is coming for a cup of tea to your house this afternoon. Do you prepare a bedroom to sleep? What do you prepare? Cup of tea and piece of cake, right? So the same applies also. The Holy Spirit was visiting on earth, going back to heaven. But this time Jesus is saying, he's not visiting. He's coming to stay with you. That's the power that is coming in you. You'll be a different person, mate. Holy Spirit living in you. You won't even shun your neighbors. You won't even grumble. I heard that you are grumbling. You won't even grumble. Yes. So that needs preparation, because you are going to be a changed person. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming to live into us? To make a difference in people's lives. To make a difference when we preach about Jesus Christ. To make a difference when we ask people to forgive each other. To make a difference when we must forget our mistakes that we have made to others. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Hear another purpose again from the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 9. That counselor is now living in you. Some churches usually after next week, they celebrate what they call Trinity Week. It only starts after 40 days. That's why the preparation is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all one. They don't separate each other. If my theology is wrong, please correct me. I'm also a human being. But when the Trinity, when you talk of the Trinity, you talk of the three. How can you separate them? So if Holy Spirit comes to stay into you, who is within you? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because you can't separate them. So that's why you need to prepare yourself when this power is coming on you. It's not an easy job. You need to prepare yourself. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says this. You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. I didn't write that. Could be Paul, but I guess and I understand he was inspired. The inspiration of God tells me that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, the Trinity of God comes also. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they live in you. The disciples ask Jesus, are you now going to give us back? Because you know they were in captivity. The Romans were in charge. So they thought now, all along, sometimes people take long to understand and grasp things. Jesus was amongst them. Still they didn't grasp it. All they are thinking is of the kingdom that the Romans had taken away from them. Are you at this time now going to give back the kingdom? What more do you want when you've got the kingdom of God in you? I don't need this secular world when the kingdom of God is in me. The Holy Spirit is coming on you to clothe you with power. So which other kingdom do you want? I would rather have the kingdom of God than have this earthly kingdom which will come to an end anyway. God will destroy this earth and this heaven and create new things. So the new things that are going to be created for you and me, this is what we are preparing now. So that when we get to the new heaven and earth, we don't regret. But the most important thing is accept Jesus as your Savior. Paul goes on to say we must maintain a unity with Christ right through Because he's going to come back. But we maintain our unity with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So when that power comes on you, you are united with Christ because it's one spirit. When the dunamis comes on you, listen what happens. It gives you courage, boldness, confidence, ability and authority. So whatever you're doing, don't hesitate. That kills us a lot. Especially those who are aspiring to go to college. I went through that. Sometimes when I'm in the library there, you feel, God, you have dropped me in the dead end. What am I here for? Because you cannot grasp nothing. When you're in a lecture room, the lecturer just go and say this, bam, he's gone. When you're in that library now, you're trying to find all the lecturer was saying. It's blank. Why? Because you have taken it on your own authority without the authority of the Holy Spirit. Put your books down and say, God, this is all for you. I surrender myself to you. Have your will on me. That's total surrender. The moment you want to take it personal on you, you are forgetting that that spirit is come to clothe you. So don't take over. Let the spirit use its authority and power. Remember, God is doing a new thing in your life. You don't know it. I don't know it either. But say to God, God, you are doing a new thing in my life. Do it. Dunamis will make us do great things. Dunamis should be the driving force of anything that you want to do. Not ordinary power, no, but the power of the Holy Spirit. But before using that power, we need to prepare. Are you ready to receive the Holy Spirit? Are you ready to receive the power? If you're not ready, you'll have seizures. Because if that power comes on you when you're not yet ready, you'll have seizures. Recently we watched it when there were floods in our country. Someone might say, girls, how is he saying our country? Very soon I'll become a British citizen. My ceremony is there on the 18th of May. That's why I'm saying in our country. How is that? But at the moment, I live with some migrants in my house. So, so recently we saw when the defense forces were actually preparing to succumb the floods that were promised by the weather people. Right? We saw them using sandbags to prepare. Some of these sandbags were able to withhold the water, but some were just washed over by the water. Though they had prepared, the water was too much for the defense forces that they've prepared. So that happens to you as well. If this power comes on you and you're not prepared, you'll be washed away by that power. You'll have seizures. So my brothers and sisters, I'm urging you this morning that Jesus, the same way he was urging his disciples to prepare them of what's coming, I'm also saying to you, prepare for that power. It needs you to be ready so that you don't have seizures. So when you have received that power, what can stop you from doing what you want? Because you've got courage, boldness, confidence, ability and authority. Truly I say, God is doing something new. And that new thing is in you. and in me. You remember I started my sermon by saying God is doing something new. Today, I want you to remain with these words in your mind. God is doing something new in you. Is it for your community? For your family? For your church? I don't know. But God is doing something. If you haven't noticed it, power is coming. And it's not coming to the next door neighbor, it's coming to you to change you to be a different neighbor. It's coming to you to change you to be a different nanny. It's coming into you to make you a different granddad. God is doing something new with his power. This power is coming to live in you, to give you authority. So that when you become witnesses, you have got no fear. Because it's not you witnessing. It's the Spirit that lives in you. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to the Father and I will ask him to send you a counselor who is coming to live in you. That's a new thing. Let's pray together.